The Public News Service Daily Newscast, May the 15th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. A measure to create a border protection unit is headed to the Texas Senate, with the governor saying more needs to be done to secure the U.S.-Mexico border. Araz Brown has more.
Tens of thousands of asylum seekers, mostly from South and Central America, are living along the border, having arrived before the COVID-related Title 42 ended last Thursday. The proposed border protection unit would be authorized to arrest, apprehend, or detain people who illegally cross and repel those who attempt to cross the border. It's not clear who would be allowed to join what some have called a vigilante unit. Luis Figueroa with the group Every Texan says compassion, not criminalization, is what's needed.
What we have seen across the state is the rhetoric of invasion, the rhetoric of anti-immigrant sentiment has led to an increase in hate crimes. It's led to actual violence against immigrants in different parts of the state, different parts of the nation.
Democrats in the Texas House of Representatives have argued the new unit would codify harassment of minorities and put the state in the business of immigration enforcement, historically the federal government's job.
At the same time, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, deployed a specially trained elite unit of National Guard called the Texas Tactical Border Force to El Paso and other hotspots. And from our colleagues at National Public Radio, North Carolina's Democratic governor vetoed legislation Saturday that would have banned nearly all abortions in his state after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Abortion rights activists and voters watched on a plaza in the capital of Raleigh as Governor Cooper affixed his veto stamp. Cooper told the crowd if just one Republican in either the House or the Senate keeps a campaign promise to protect women's reproductive health, we can stop this ban. Now to Minnesota, where over the past decade, the state has seen a 38% increase in residents who identify as Latino or Hispanic. A new report suggests they could play a big role in bolstering the region's workforce.
This spring, the State Department of Economic and Employment Development issued findings that lay out opportunities and challenges for this population when it comes to economic well-being. For example, Latinos have the highest regional labor force participation rate of any race or origin group, but there are disparities such as household income. Henry Jimenez of the social change group Copal suggests employers improve their hiring efforts for well-paying jobs.
Again, there's a disconnect with connecting the current pool of qualified candidates.
The report says in 2021, 14% of the state's Hispanic or Latino population had incomes below the poverty level, compared with just 7% of white residents. I'm Mike Moen.
This is Public News Service. Environmental groups in Tennessee have an urgent call to action for the Tennessee Valley Authority to cut fossil fuel emissions and replace their coal plants with renewable energy. Danielle Smith has more.
The Tennessee Valley Authority provides electricity for 153 local power companies and serves 10 million people in Tennessee and parts of six surrounding states. Gabrielle Asiri Tabar, energy justice campaigner with the Center for Biological Diversity, wants to see the Kingston and Cumberland power plants replaced with renewable energy alternatives. She says local environmental groups, including the Clean Up TVA Coalition, are working daily to encourage fossil fuel-free energy production by 2030.
One of our key demands is that the new board should take back, should reclaim decision-making authority that was previously delegated to the CEO, Jeff Lyash. The TVA board did take back that authority.
Young farmers in the U.S. face extensive structural barriers that impact their mental health. That's according to a new survey from the National Young Farmers Coalition.
A lack of affordable health care and housing, as well as access to land, is taking a toll on farmers just starting their career, as well as farmers of color. National Young Farmers Coalition Mental Health Director Jack Whippler says mental decline can lead to poor decision-making and higher risk of injury.
So farmer mental health truly can lead to farms being less viable, farmers being less capable to do the work of the farm, as well as leaving the farming profession.
Whippler says low pay for farm workers and even food insecurity are also leading to farmer burnout. Advocates have created a bilingual mental health hotline for farmers at 1-800-FARM-AID and are cultivating a growing network of young farmer leaders working to reduce the stigma surrounding mental health. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Finally, our Shantia Hudson lets us know North Carolina's greenways are playing a significant role in improving the quality of life for residents and promoting environmental sustainability.
The East Coast Greenway project sets out to connect a 3,000-mile-long car-free route stretching from Maine to Florida. Right now, Dennis Mercado Soriano with the Alliance says one of the main objectives is promoting sustainable transportation methods by providing safe and accessible pathways for walking and cycling.
The fact that people are biking and walking instead of driving when they're out on our greenways, they're already reducing millions of pounds of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And we see great potential to more than triple our impact by partnering with more leaders.
The East Coast Greenway connects 15 states and 450 cities.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.